little bit of bass as well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Okay, I'm recording whenever you're
ready. Let's do it, man.
If there was anything wrong with Julia Jacklin's 2016 album, Don't Let the Kids Win, and just so we're clear on this, there wasn't, it was that it seemed like such an assured debut might set any successor up to disappoint. It turns out that Jacklin herself found it a tough act to follow, but her forthcoming second album, Crushing, is well worth the wait. Julia returned to Midori House to play two tracks from Crushing, one from Don't Let the Kids Win, and to reflect further on a remarkable journey from a garage in Sydney.
Hey, I'm Julia Jacklin, and this is Head Alone.
Give me a full-length mirror so I can see the whole picture. My head alone gives nothing away. Guess I could stand on a chair, put it back by the table before you get there. My head alone doesn't know how to say. I don't wanna be touched all the time. I raise my body up to be mine. Ha ha.
Julia Jacklin, welcome back to Midori House.
Thank you.
You are now a two-time guest.
Yes.
You're here with your new album, which is not out for a while yet, Crushing, and you were here before, of course, with your first album, Don't Let the Kids Win. Did you have, writing a new album, any of that fabled second album self-consciousness, that idea that, oh God, people are actually going to listen to this one?
Definitely moments of that, but very fleeting, to be honest. Because I think, like, I don't know, most of the time all of that noise is existing outside of your actual life, you know, like that's online and you know, a few people will say it to you at a gig or something, be like, oh, are you scared? And then you'll be like, oh yeah, maybe I should be. But no, I think I just, after my first record, I didn't write music for a year and a half because I just had writer's block and it was awful. And so as soon as the song started coming back, I was just relieved. And yeah, that relief kind of overrode any feelings of, yeah, fear about the second record, really.
What was the writer's block like? I mean, I know that it sounds like there's going to be an obvious answer to that question, but how did it manifest itself?
I think it was because I suddenly found myself on tour all the time, and it was a lifestyle I'd never done before, and suddenly you have no time to yourself, and yeah, like, it obviously it's not the biggest tragedy in the world having writer's block, but it can be. It was really scary because it honestly felt like 22 to 24 year old Julia was a songwriter. And then that was it. And then I was 26-year-old Julia just performing like this cabaret of my younger self. And that as soon as this touring was ended, I just would have to tell everyone like, oh, I don't write songs anymore. Like, they stopped. So I'm going to have to go back to uni now or go back to work because I can't do it anymore because nothing is coming. And then, yeah, then I think once I got used to touring, it's, you know, and I kind of understood how to take time out for myself and started to not feel as self-conscious around the band so I could write while they were there, and it just started coming again, thank God.
Was there any one particular thing that prompted the tap to turn back on, as it were?
It's honestly just the classic, like, as soon as I took the pressure off myself, as soon as I just kind of stopped freaking out about it all the time, it was like as soon as I just accepted the fact that I was no longer a songwriter, the songs started coming, so... The song's called Body.
The police met the plane. They let you finish your meal. I know you'd like to believe baby, but you're more kid than criminal. Just a boy who could not get to a domestic flight without lighting up in the restroom. Got cold, cloud of smoke, thumb still under light. You look so proud. Couldn't wait to call a friend. We had to fly back home. Never got the money back for that weekend. Right there on the Sydney tarmac, I threw my luggage down. I said, I'm gonna leave you. I'm not a good woman when you're around. That's when the sound came in. I could finally see. I felt the changing of the seasons, all of my senses rushing back to me. Go your own way. Watch me turn my own head. Eyes on the driver, hands in my lap, getting to the city to get my body back. Took my camera, turned to me, 23, naked on your bed, looking straight at you. Do you still have that photograph? Would you use it to hurt? it's just my life, and it's just my body. I guess it's just my life, and it's just my body. I guess it's just my It's just my body. I guess it's just my life, and it's just my body. I guess it's just my life, and it's just my.
The new album in particular, it just struck me that the songs, they all sound like sort of memos to self, like you're trying to think your way through things.
Mm.
Is that fair, do you think?
Yeah, that's a nice observation, because for me, songwriting is about just writing songs that I need to hear personally. It's not, I cringe to think about writing a song that's ever some sort of, you know, statement to somebody else, or like those songs that are all like they wrap up in these like way, you know, these ideas of how people should conduct themselves, or I don't know. I mean, some of my songs might come across like that, but they're all just me kind of feeling something and just needing to tell myself how to deal with it, you know.
I can remember once interviewing Ryan Adams, who I thought put it quite well. He said to him it was a song was just a way of asking people, does anybody else feel like this?
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what it is.
But the songs are either, on the new album as well, are either explicitly personal or certainly sound like they are explicitly personal. And I guess the distinction doesn't necessarily matter that much to the listener. But again, is there any self-consciousness about letting that much go?
It's not until I'm in interviews and people ask me that question, really. And then I'm like, oh, maybe that's a bit weird. I don't know. Like, I'm a bit of an open book in my life, and not in a way that I just, you know, give away everything, but it's like, to me, I find talking about these things in public is less terrifying than, like, just sitting down with somebody and maybe telling them to their face, you know? So I'd prefer to just sing my feelings in front of, like, 1,000 people and hope that they're in the room so they hear what I'm saying and are like, oh, that's how she felt, than me just having to look at them dead in the eyes and tell them in a non-musical way.
So just finally then, do you think you have, at the risk of tempting fate, got used to the idea that this is now actually what you do?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And I really like it, which is great, because it's like a very weird existence, but it makes me feel very alive. So I'm happy. This song's called Lead Light.
Once a Sunday kneeler, when I saw the lid light far from the pain, I didn't know that the grass was not only greener, upkeep is cheaper when you embrace the rain. So I jumped out to lay with my lid light, and under your spotlight I lay with the shards, and I didn't know that the ground was not only harder, oh, but colder when you are not around. I love you, my darling, but I can't let possession make a fool of you. I love you, my darling. and straight up that incline. I ran towards the blue, and I didn't know that the sky is not only whiter. Oh, but clearer when I'm standing next to you.
Been listening to the sessions at Midori House. This week's performance was by Julia Jacklin. Her new album, Crushing, is out in February. Further details and tour dates can be found at juliajacklin.com. This show was produced by Holly Fisher and recorded and mixed by Kieran Matthew Banerjee. We're back at the same time next week with more live music, but until then, I'm Andrew Muller. Thank you for listening.
I'll be here to see this whole love through.